Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you again for joining me on another episode of Healing Through Herd Talk Radio. I'm your host, Maria Wall, and as always, once again, I'd like to thank you again for joining me tonight, and tonight I'm bringing you yet another dynamic guest, as promised. Tonight, my special guest is Ms. Letitia Hendricks. She's the author of the book, Behind Our Faces, Thoughts and Reasoning of Suicide. Thoughts and Reasoning of Suicide are on the rise these days. Behind Our Faces, Thoughts and Reasoning of Suicide offers personal insight and understanding into what it's like to just want to die and why. Again, this is a subject that, as I told you all last week, that we'll be hitting on some subjects that make people feel as taboo, but it's a subject and a topic that we need to bring to the forefront because of these hard economic times that we're in. It's become even more prevalent. With that said, I'd like to welcome Letitia to our program. Letitia?
Yes.
Hi. Welcome to Healing Through Herd Talk Radio. Thank you so much for joining me this evening.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
You're quite welcome, and we're going to jump right into the show because this is one of those topics where a lot of my listeners wanted to know what the topic was, and I said, well, you know, once again, you know, 2 weeks ago I did preparing if someone, you know, a loved one couldn't take care of themselves and you had to take care of their final arrangements and things.
Mm-hmm.
So this week, of course, we're dealing with a very, very, very taboo subject, which is suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And your book, of course. But we're going to start at the beginning with you. When you first became aware of these types of thoughts and the fact that, you know, you were really someone who was even having them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I really actually first became aware of the feelings of suicide in high school. Looking back on it, I started showing signs of it when I was like 9 years old. And, of course, everybody thought, you know, it was just, you know, adolescence, you know, I'm a preteen. But I really started having those thoughts, I would say, the end of junior high, high school. And I actually didn't know that there's such a thing as childhood depression until I started doing, like, research. And a lot of times people who think kids are, like, autistic or just not verbalizing things, sometimes it's depression, but they just don't have the vocabulary to say, you know, a five-year-old can't express that I want to die. They're not playing, they're not socializing, they're not thriving, and it's not caught. So, yeah, it's usually caught, you know, into the teens when, the vocabulary gets a little bit more mature and you start having these feelings of, you know, life is never going to get better than this. I'm a complete failure. And you just feel yourself sinking and drowning and just empty and heavy at the same time.
You know, you're absolutely right. I had no idea of the childhood depression until, gosh, maybe 2 years ago or so, when I really started looking into it and doing research. And for parents listening, or anyone, if you know young children and you notice that their behavior is changing drastically, it could be a host of issues going on there. Do
right.
not just think that it's because, you know, they're just being kids, or it's an adolescent phase. That does not necessarily ring true. And we need to make sure that we're taking children's actions and their change in behavior a little bit more serious, no matter the age as well, because if it's my understanding, you know, it could be something chemically wrong or a chemical imbalance where, you know, the child is showing these symptoms very early on.
Right.
And it's just not normal. And so for you, we'll just jump right into your personal experience with it, because I know what it's like as well to be down at Roadside and relate to a lot of things that you spoke about in your book. Again, welcome to our guest in the chat room. We are speaking with Latricia Hendricks, the author of Behind Our Faces, Thoughts and Reasoning of Suicide. This is a very touchy subject tonight. If you'd like to speak with Latricia, or you have a question or comment, you may call 646-478-4726. Again, welcome to our guest in the chat room. If you have a question there, feel free to type it out, and I will read it for you. And Latricia will give you her response.
Okay. Well, if I can, let me just say, for me, it was kind of a little bit of both. There is like a history of depression in my family, and I think,
okay.
yeah, it had a little bit to do with, you know, adolescence kind of kicked it in, but there were also some things that I, you know, experienced, a couple of instances of sexual, negative, you know, sexual experiences. So, and it wasn't anything in my family, but of course it can happen in families, it can happen, you know, in neighborhoods or whatever. So to me, even if it's not chemical, I firmly believe, and some scientists are, you know, already saying it, something can happen to you and, you know, there's nothing wrong with you, but something happens to you that's so traumatic, and then that experience can actually alter your brain. It can actually kind of change the firing of the synapses in your brain. So it can actually affect your brain, the way it's shaped, the way it fires and works. So for me, I think it was a little bit of both.
Yeah, and that's another good point that you brought up, because when I was basically speaking about the chemical imbalances and things, sometimes, you know, some people don't realize that even a very, very young child will start to cry for no particular reason. And, you know, they may take them to the doctor and they say, well, the doctor says there's nothing wrong with them, and they think physical, but they never think psychological or something else going on there. And that's where I think that a lot of people make the mistake of not doing, you know, thinking in that realm that it could be something dealing with the brain. Or,
right.
you know, something traumatic has happened. And, again, we're speaking of young people right now, but this could hold true for adults as well.
Oh, absolutely.
If something
yeah.
traumatic, you know, yeah. And with, again, as I said when I opened the show, we're in very tough economic times. People are losing their jobs right and left. People who've never had to ask anyone for anything now, they're now they have to humble themselves and seek that help. And that alone is causing a lot of stress and heartache on people. And, you know, it's just a hard time. So coming back to your story, you said
well,
that. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. If I can just say something, just like the latest thing that, you know, we've, you know, the latest incident this week, what happened in, is it Connecticut? You know, the guy that, you know, at the beer factory.
Yeah. At the beer factory.
And, you know, his big thing was racism is what, you know, his problem, you know, is what he pinpointed it as. But you just never know. It could have been a whole, it could have been economic, you know. It could have been a whole realm of things that just piled on and piled on and piled on. And he reached that breaking point where, you know, he ended the lives of other people and ended his own life. So you just, you know, you just don't know what's going on in people's minds. And that kind of like what's in my book, it's, I wanted it not to be about statistics. I wanted it to be about the mindset, the things that just go through your mind, and just I just wanted to express these things in words. That's why I put like journal entries and just talking to other people and the way I express it, the way they've expressed it, just in words. And I think, you know, I'm hoping that people will read it and just, if they can't express it themselves, maybe they can read it and just show it to someone and say, this is me. This is what I'm going through. There is another side, and I want to try everything I can find to find that other side. But right now, I'm in that mindset where I cannot see the other side. Please help me. So.
Right. And you know, for our listeners, if you're at that point where you can go outside and you don't feel the warmth of the sun on your face, or, you know, you come inside and nothing seems to work for you, nothing makes you happy anymore, then that's a sign right there that you're going down the road of possible depression. And, you know, I think that one of the things that has always concerned me is the fact that so many people, you could be crying out for help, and I'm sure that through your acting out and other actions when you were younger, you were crying out for help. But a lot of times people prejudge those who are in that mindset of suicide, or they don't want to address it, of course. They don't want to think, oh, no, this couldn't happen in my family. This couldn't happen to anyone that I know.
Right.
And, you know, it's one of those infamous fantasy world that people live in, where they're looking at the world through these wonderful colored glasses, and it's not that way, people. You'd be surprised. And I know at one point in your book, I think you were speaking with a friend, and they had given some type of indication that people that commit suicide, or those types of people, are just stupid, or something to that effect. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, if we look at news reports and things like that, you know, a lot of times people come from, you know, they're educated, they have great jobs. We don't know what would make us snap. And I always say, but for the grace of God, for me, it could be me, it could be anyone that I know, because you just never know when enough is enough.
Right.
And, you know, we just ignore the fact that people don't listen. They don't. It's almost like we are in a me-first society. We know that. People are so busy taking care of themselves. They overlook their children. They overlook their spouses, their loved ones. They just don't have the time anymore. And it's in the end, you know, this is the type, one of the things that could happen in the end. But for you and your situation again, tell us a little bit about how you were feeling when you first discovered it. What changed in you when you woke up that morning? What changed?
It was wow. It was like I couldn't feel love. I couldn't feel love for other people. I couldn't feel their love for me. A bright, sunny day meant nothing to me. It was just another day of pain. It was drowning it was like somebody in the height of it, it's like somebody basically just takes their claw, just their hand with claws on it, and just kind of scoops out your whole like chest. And then at the same time, there were periods where I felt like the weight of the world was on my shoulders. It was like I was worried about everything. I was worried about dying. I was worried about everybody else around me dying. I was just worried about everything. There were just so many feelings. There was paranoia. There was not sleeping. There was not eating. There was eating too much. There was, you know, just irritability. I couldn't stand anyone just even saying hello to me. It was like I lashed out at my family the hardest because they were the closest to me. But I was just in so much pain, and I just didn't know how to fix it. So I got to that point, you know, where the rationale in my head was just like, it's probably just better off for them and for me to just kill myself. They'll be happier, I'll be happier if I just kill myself. And the thing you said about stupidity, you know, in my book, yeah, the conversation I had with the person, it's not about stupidity, it's about rationale. You are in this particular mindset that you really do think that this is the best thing that you can do. You cannot see that other side. You cannot feel that other side. You are just in that crisis point where you think you're just doing what is best.
Yeah, and I fully understand that. And, you know, the odd part is, or I don't know how odd it is, but I think that a lot of people who are listening to the show may sit back and in the back of their minds, or they're saying to themselves, you know, I felt like that too. They may have never expressed it openly, but if you're someone who has experienced any of these types of feelings, if you do not want to talk to one of your close friends or family, seek some type of professional help, because that's somewhere between severe depression and then leading you down that road that may possibly allow you to convince yourself that the only way out is the taking of your own life. And I know when I had done my bout with depression, you know, you think all of these thoughts. And you know, for me, it wasn't that I worried about everything. At some point, it was like I had become numb to everything.
Yeah.
There was nothing. You know, you don't feel anything. It's like I wake up in the morning. I know that there's going to be a lot of drama today. I'm going to come home, and then I'm going to go to sleep, and then I'm going to wake up the next day, and I'm going to pick up where the drama left off. And at some point, you become disassociated with your own self. And a lot of times, you may not remember what you did in the whole entire day because you've just disassociated from everything. And your mind is taking you someplace where you don't necessarily want to be. And, you know, for when you, what types, if you want to tell us a few of the catalysts or what happened that really, that you can pinpoint that actually drove you to that place?
For me, you know, especially when I was younger, I was actually molested at a bus stop waiting for the bus after school. My ride had car trouble and didn't show up. And, you know, I'm old enough and responsible enough to just, you know, in case something happens, you know, there are no cell phones, you know, then. You know, just get on the bus and go home. It's right up the street. Well, you know, a stranger came up and, you know, fondled me. And I fought him off, but for so long after that, and my parents, they tried to help me, but I don't think that a lot of people realize just how deeply it affected me. And yeah, there were nightmares. I was crying all the time. I wasn't eating. I was just so afraid of just like strangers walking up and down the street. It was very hard. Where just like you said, the years went by, I got to a point where I started to kind of fragment and disassociate. It's actually in my book where I became the girl inside the room. It was like, you know, I would have these really hard points of just a bad day. And I would go and see the girl inside my mind, inside the room, and I would cry to her. So it was like I split myself in these two different people and just kind of like dumped all of the pain and let her accept all the pain and disassociate it, and then just kind of went on the next day as me, but it wasn't solving the problem. I wasn't getting help. I wasn't talking about what was going on. I mean, it wasn't just, you know, the thing that happened at the bus stop. There was also, you know, bullying. You know, I went through, you know, some bullying in school, which was really hard. I can kind of understand where like Columbine and Virginia Tech happened, because I went through these episodes of just where I was just made of nothing but anger and pain, and I just wanted to hurt everyone around me that was causing me pain. So I can kind of understand why maybe these kids just kind of snap, or adults just kind of snap and take the lives of other people and take their own lives.
Yeah, I can relate to that as well. You know, a lot of us have grown up in that, you know, going to school and had one or two bullies in our day, and you don't know how to express it, or even if you do, then you're not getting the proper support back that you need as a child. So you learn how to suppress those thoughts, and a lot of times, you know, people tend to become someone else, and they become adults who allow themselves to be walked all over, and again, it's still building up inside. You have all of the childhood problems from the bullying, that you didn't get the help that you needed there, or the protection, or no anyone to listen to you, and then you bring it up as an adult, and it's still there, and people are still mistreating you, and you're still in that vicious cycle, and before you know it, like you said, we'll have what happened at the beer factory, we'll have the Columbine, we'll have all of these types of situations, and then people, the first thing others, you know, everyone's ready to point the finger, but the people closest to the individuals, you know, I say stop, take a back step, look in the mirror, and figure out how much of this did you actually see the writing on the wall, and you chose to ignore it until something happened. Now you want to be the world's greatest commentator, you know, and I think that's a big problem, too, is that we don't want the family to know that we're going through this. And sometimes you do. You reach out for help, and you don't get it back. You know, the response could be just ignore it, they'll go away. Or the response could be, you know, these people have problems, they're hurting worse than you. And then, you know, the person may try to make you feel bad because you're complaining or trying to voice the opinion that this person is hurting you, but then the people that you're talking to aren't really getting it, or they don't care, whatever way it is. And as if you're a younger child and you get that type of a response, you know, that carries through. That's almost like a scar on your soul. And as an adult, of course, if you carry that scar from a child, then it's going to keep going. And, you know, again, that's one of those sit back and just say, wow, and try to figure out what we can do, you know, and you're an adult now, and you voiced all of that in the book, but you wrote that book now, and that happened to you so long ago,
mm-hmm.
And me being someone who has that type of, you know, empathy and that empathetic soul or whatever you want to call it, it's like, wow, you know, that's a heck of a burden to keep for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how did you work through it? We know that, we know what point that you had gotten to, but we're going to move forward a little bit, and then we'll backtrack, of course, to the infamous P. But that's another story. We'll get to that in a minute for our listeners. But how did you break free?
Well, let me just, I just wanted to, you know, kind of add to a couple of things that you said. And because I think that we are like in the same age range, but, you know, age really shouldn't matter. The whole letting kids be kids mentality, I understand it, but you know what? If it's to the point where your kid doesn't want to go outside or doesn't want to go to school and they're being bullied, I would like to see it kind of understood as it's a type of abuse, physical and emotional abuse. If you're getting abused physically and emotionally at home and it's against the law, I think people should really look at it the same way. In neighborhoods and schools, you're being abused. And of course, if you're being abused, mentally, it's just going to like tear you apart. And the second thing I wanted to say, silence, I think, especially among men and boys, unfortunately, I think silence is looked at as a type of like strength. If you just kind of keep quiet and suck it up and move on, it's kind of like looked at as, you know, oh, they're being strong, when actually it's not solving the problem. You're not letting out all of that anguish. You're not talking to anybody. You're just continuing to suck it up, and it's just building. So I just wanted to say that. But in terms of how did I break free from it, I've got to tell you, it took me 30 years of just like up and down, of searching, reading, and just finally finding the right doctor, finding the right person to talk to, finding the right medication, finding the right balance of taking care of myself, and hypnosis, actually, of just changing the way that I think and look at myself, and exploring, too, that those hurtful times, those breaking points in my past that really put the cracks in my personality. So, yeah, it's a whole lot of just combined stuff. And I would just like to say, you know, keep searching. Don't give up. Don't give up. You got to find what's right for you.
Right. And, you know, when I was going through mine, again, it takes you X amount of years. I think I was in my late 30s maybe when I had gone for professional help, and I had a psychiatrist and a psychologist. I had both. And, you know, for one, I had tried the feng shui and, you know, setting up your house and having the flowing water running and putting on the soft music and doing all of that, and nothing worked. A lot of times, if we do our home, if we're that strong, we're at that point where we can do our own research and our own, you know, homework, and we're figuring it out. And once we try everything that all of our research tells us should be able to help, and it does not, then that's time for us to say, you know what? I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care what anybody says. I need to get some real help.
Yes, absolutely.
And there's no shame. There's no shame in it. You know, when I was finished talking to my psychiatrist, because the psychologist didn't do much at all, but, you know, when you get the right medications and things, and you start to feel more like yourself. And for me, it's a continuing struggle. There's still days when I can wake up in the morning and just feel like, I don't even feel like getting out of bed today. And then there are other days when I feel okay. So it's no different than if you're recovering from any type of addiction. It's the same principle. It's an uphill fighting battle. You have to figure out, you know, what's going to work for you to make you stay in that right frame of mind for every second of the day, because you just never know. And you know, there, again, for our listeners, there's no shame to it whatsoever. If you're at that point, look for help. You don't even have to tell anyone around you that, hey, you know, I have a doctor's appointment. You know, you don't have to get into specifics of what doctor you're going to see, as long as you look to get the help that you need to make you feel better before you, you know, become an infamous statistic. And then at that point, trust me, you become another number. And if you believe that that's going to make everybody feel better, it doesn't. It really doesn't. And,
There's absolutely no shame, and it's so important to just, like, reach out. I know it's hard, you know, just speaking to everyone who's listening. I know it's hard. You might be sitting alone listening to this, and you just might be crying. You're sobbing your eyes out, and no one else knows. I know. But you've got to reach out. You got to make a phone call. You got to go next door and tell somebody. You got to call a crisis hotline because you're in a struggle that most of the time you just can't get yourself out of. If you're to that point, you got to get some help. You've got to get some help. I know you're probably maybe there's that fear of stigma from others, fear of losing friends, fear of losing respect from coworkers, you know, fear of people using against you. But just no one wants you to die. And I know deep down you would rather live than die. I know you. Some people out there who are listening probably feel like they just want to die. But I know you'd rather be better than die. So please, just, you know, call a hotline. Talk to somebody. Talk to your mother. Talk to your pastor. Talk to a friend. Just get some help, please.
And we can't stress that enough to anyone that's within, you know, the scope of our voices. Get the help. It's fine. We are sitting here speaking to you, two very accomplished ladies, and, you know, some people would think there's no way. You know, for some reason, people seem to think that if you're accomplished or you're educated or you're this, you're immune from certain types of ailments and hurts, and that is just such a false belief that I cannot explain that to you all. I do healing through hurt because it helps me to heal through my hurt while I'm helping other people, you know, with the help of my guest to help let you know, share our story so that you can heal through your hurt. And we're not sitting up here saying that we have any PhDs in it. We're just people who are sharing our story.
Yeah.
You know, Latricia is talking about something that's very, very, very important and personal. And we're real people with real stories. And you can actually, you know, I would like to think that it's helping you to feel more connected to this story. And that is one of the reasons why, you know, I'm so grateful that Latricia decided to be here this evening, because this is such an important topic. And, you know, you had spoken about the fact that, you know, someone had molested you as a young child on a bus stop. Again, if you're going through something of that nature, I'd like to just put out a hotline number for RAIN. It's an organization that I'm one of their email warriors for. It's the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network. They have a 24-hour hotline. You can call 1-800-656-HOPE. That's 1-800-656-HOPE. And, of course, you can visit their website at rainn.org. Again, that's rainn.org. Great organization. 24-hour hotline. If you feel as though you're at that point, And whether or not it's one of these particular incidences, if you feel as though you're at that point, you can give them a call and they can guide you in the right direction to someone who can help you. So don't think that you're alone, because trust me, you are not. And there are a lot more people out there who are sitting in silence. And, you know, Latricia, you had said, you know, people are sitting in the room crying to themselves, you know, and then I'll take it a step further. And then there's some people that are sitting in a room full of people, but you're crying inside, not showing it outward. And there's nothing worse than that crying within, because that, for me, is the most hurtful feeling in the world.
Oh,
and I'm sure
gosh.
You can relate to that.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, goodness.
I mean,
when
yeah.
When you lose your fears.
Yeah, don't get me. I mean, so many times, you know, family gatherings, you know, being at work, surrounded by people, and absolutely alone and dying inside, and
yeah.
you know, just having to excuse myself to, in, you know, to the bathroom, and sobbing away from everybody else, trying to let out as much pain as I could, in order not to show other people how much pain I was in. And then coming back into the room like nothing happened, like nothing's wrong, laughing, talking, you know, absolutely nothing. But, you know, you, if you're out there listening, I'm telling you, you are not alone. Because I think it's like 44 million people just in this country alone are going through some kind of like mental disorder. But I think only like a third or a fourth of them are actually getting help for it. Either, you know, people aren't reaching out, teenagers especially, afraid to, you know, they think they're bothering their parents with it. They think they don't want to bother their parents, they don't want to alarm their parents, they don't want their parents to spend money on them. You know, just different, you know, teenagers I've talked to, and there's no reason for them to feel that way against the parents. But I'm just, like, blown. I'm like, well, how, can you just talk to your mother? They're like, no, I don't want her to, you know, be worried about me. But I'm like, she would just be so livid if you killed yourself. And, you know, look back on it. What's a few dollars? What's a few hours off per week to go with you to therapy against not having you in her life anymore or their life anymore? So, you know, think of it that way. But, yeah, if you're out there listening, you're not alone. You are not alone.
And for young people, you had touched on one aspect of it already, Latricia, and then there's another aspect, too. For those of you who may feel as though my parents wouldn't care anyway, you know, there are places out there that you could go to and call that will help you make it through that situation when you feel as though your parents don't even care. And that in itself is another problem. Let me give you all another important number here. The National Suicide Prevention Hotline is 1-800-273-TALK, 1-800-273-TALK. And their website is www.suicidepreventiononlifeline.org. Suicide, SUICIDEPREVENTION, lifeline.org. Suicidepreventionlifeline.org. The number is 1-800-273-TALK.
And it's great that we, you know, you do this show, you know, this time, you know, on a Saturday night at this time of the night, because I'm telling you, so many Saturday nights were just like the worst and the loneliest for me, when I felt like I had no friends, when I felt like I had nowhere to go, I felt like I had no one to talk to, no one loved me. That was just, and holidays. Holidays are just like, You can't feel the love. You can't feel the appreciation for anything. You feel like nothing, and you feel like you have nothing. So I commend you for especially having this, you know, during this time, because, yeah, Saturday nights were, yeah, some of the hardest moments for me. Absolutely.
Thank you. And you know, again, we know what it's like to wear the infamous mask. We know what it's like to put on that facade. We just know, and we feel your pain. And right now, imagine that I'm sitting there in the same room that you are, or Latricia's sitting there, and we're looking you right in your eyes, and we're telling you, you know, we are right here with you. We understand. You know, people say, well, you never understand because you've never walked a mile in my shoes. Oh, well, here are two ladies on this show right now who walked 30 miles in your shoes, 100 miles in your shoes. You know, matter of fact, we probably were at that point where, you know what, my life is at an end, but let me tell you something here. Let me help you along so you can finish living your life. So at some point in time, maybe we kind of like pushed you along just because, you know, and that's what this show is about. Don't feel as though you are alone. You're not alone. And I don't know how many ways we can say that. You'll probably hear us say it another 100, 200 times before the show is over, because that's the point. You know, you're not alone.
You're not the only one. You're not the only one.
Oh, my goodness, no. And let's backtrack, and we're going to – let's backtrack to, in your book, you spoke about a bully that you had in school who, you know, will use the letter P to talk about that particular individual. Let's talk about the bullying aspect of what you had to go through there. And because, you know, for our listeners, again, this is something that there are adult bullies too. So in listening to this, you know, you can relate one way or the other. But tell me a little bit about P, because, you know, I know that I had him when I was in school, and I'm sure a lot of listeners did as well. So, you know, give us a little bit of insight into the world of you and P.
P, you know, was a child like I was. P, you know, she had issues where she, you know, and, you know, after the fact, years later, I find out that she had issues going on in the home. But at that time, you know, you're a child. You don't understand that. You just understand that this person is bullying you. They're terrorizing you. They're just making you feel miserable. And it just, you know, she just, you know, kind of terrorized a lot of people in my class. But, you know, me in particular, there came this, you know, this incident, and the incident happened, and I kind of looked at myself as a victim from then on. And so many years, I carried that victim mentality in my mind, and I kind of vibrated that, I think. So other instances came to me as just, you know, being victimized and just looking at myself as everybody is going to attack me. And a lot of the times, yeah, it did happen. But you know, a good thing is I found out that years later, P actually, you know, went through her bout of, you know, just issues. And I think she's like a born-again Christian now. So you just never know. You got to kind of ask yourself, why is this person bullying me? You know, or you go to somebody, an authority figure. If they're not listening to you, go to somebody else. Until somebody listens, until somebody understands, until somebody does something to help you. But, yeah, you just don't know what's going on in somebody else's head. So she definitely had her own pain and issues she was going through to try to gain respect and to try to make people like her in that way. So, yeah, it was, you just don't know. You just don't know what another person's going through.
Right. And I know at one point in the book, I think you had said that P was larger than, you know, the girls in her class and the majority of the boys as well. So me as an adult reading this, I'm like, okay, well, she had issues, and the only way that she could get people from making fun of her is being, you know, the gargantuan or whatever they want to call her back then, was for her to lash out and become the bully herself to make other people afraid of her, too afraid to say anything about her, negative. And, you know, but of course, this is me as an adult saying, oh, okay, yeah, I understand what P was probably going through. And then P was probably having some problems at home as well.
Right.
But like you said, when you're a child, our brains aren't even developed to have that type of rationale and reasoning yet.
Right.
And for us, this is just a mean, you know, Satan has sent one of his children to earth to just torment me, you know.
Right.
And you know, we could sit up here all night, and this is such a emotional subject, I think, that, and I'm trying so hard to just make our listeners understand.
But, I mean, I'd also wanted to say, you know, when you do try to get help, if you feel like nobody's listening to you, if you feel like that type of help that you've reached out for is not working, don't, you know, spend time trying to, you know, convince that person or change their mind. Move on. Find some other kind of help, because you might be talking to a person with their own issues, or they can't handle what's going on with you. Move on. Find somebody else until somebody does listen and somebody does help you.
Right. And you know, I've said it before where I said I had a psychiatrist and a psychologist. Well, you know, the psychologist, you know, she got to the point where she said, well, you know, write down things on a piece of paper and get some, you know, index cards. I'm like, okay, I've done that. Here they are. I had everything with me. Well, get some soft music. Okay, lady, here are my CDs. What next? You know, try the waterfalls. Lady, I have like four or five of them in my house. Okay, what next? Okay, because what you're telling me, I'm paying you an awful lot of money to tell me what I've already told you that I've done, and it doesn't, matter of fact, you're depressing me. You know,
it's funny. I remember I got a waterfall, and the only thing it did for me was make me want to go to the bathroom and keep me awake at night. So I took it back to the store. I'm like, okay, this is not working. Move on and try something else.
How much money are you going to get paid? You're going to go to my insurance company and submit a bill to tell me absolutely nothing. Well, it's your depression talking. I'm like, what, you think? I'm like, and guess what? You're contributing towards my what? Depression.
I know. Yeah, just telling you, it's just your depression talking. You're not helping me. So, yeah, fine. I've heard that so many times. But, yeah, absolutely, fine. And it's also in my book, you know, I had a therapist who was just absolutely terrible. Just because they have a degree and they're a therapist might not be a good person. They might not be a good therapist. If they're not helping you, absolutely, move on. Get a second opinion. If somebody told you had a brain tumor, you know, or, you know, if you're hurting inside, you've got like a pain in your stomach and the doctor's telling you, oh, it's nothing, you're going to go to another doctor and say, this doctor told me it's nothing, but look, I've got this burning pain in my stomach. It's got to be something. So, you just can't take sometimes you just can't take what they say for face value. Just move on and find what works for you.
Exactly. And for me, I saw no need to have two anyway. I didn't see a need to have a psychologist and a psychiatrist, because I'm like, which one of you guys can prescribe me medication?
Right.
That's all I wanted to know. You know, beyond that, I had a great psychiatrist, great guy, great doctor. He was wonderful. You know, I can't say much for, you know, the lady, but I don't even remember her name. It was just that bad. But, again, you know, move on. You don't have to pay anyone to mistreat you and make you feel worse than you were when you first walked into the office.
Yeah, absolutely not. Yeah.
You know, move on, but move in the right direction to
yes, exactly. Maybe we should say move away from them. Move towards something that's better than that.
Most definitely, because if they're making you feel worse, No, that is no. So,
yeah.
You know, with that said, again, and you know, in speaking with P, bringing it up to the workplace for adults and tweens and teens and young adults, if you have someone like that in the workplace, there are most workplaces have employee assistance programs, things of that nature, and they can even, a lot of places have it set up where they will let you talk to counselors or give you a few sessions on the clock if need be, just to talk, to try to make your situation more bearable or tolerant. And if that means that you have to be transferred to a new location or a new part of the building or whatever, then so be it. You know, if you really do want to live, if you want to survive, then, you know, sometimes you may have to make those types of changes.
Right. I mean, everybody has, yeah, stress every day. You know, stress is, it's a normal part of life. But if you are, yeah, if you're working at a company where, and I can understand, you may have put in all these years, but if you're, if it's just making you mentally miserable, where you're feeling like you gotta, you know, die to make it better, it's just, it's not worth your life. It's just not. There's something better out there for you. You can find something better.
And believe you me, you will find it. If you seek, you will find. And
yeah.
If you don't find it, you know, if it's not out there somewhere just waiting for you to find it, then create it. Create your own happiness. Create your own success. Do whatever you have to do. Again, like I said, you know, I created Healing Through Hurt because of my own hurt. You know, it could, you could say that it was for selfish reasons, but it wasn't 100% that. It just so happens that my world fell apart when I've had this show for so long, didn't really know how to, what I wanted my format to be. And, you know, this past February, it all just became very clear to me when, you know, I was abused and I was violated.
Uh-huh.
And I knew then what I had to do. And me being that type of person who, you know, started my nonprofit for, you know, at-risk vulnerable youth and their families, you know, I've always been that type of person that wants to help people.
Uh-huh.
And this way it helps me. You know, sitting up here talking to you, it's like, wow, you know, there's someone who I know knows me because, you know, we've never met face-to-face, but we've been through it. And, you know, yours was P, mine was A, and you know, some other, whatever, an A and a T, you know, it's always someone, and it's odd that you would say that P has become that born-again Christian, because so did A and T, you know, they became these born-again Christians, and I'm like, oh, okay, you know, that's about all that I could say, okay.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't ready to embrace them and say, you know, hallelujah, you know, great. You know, I'm glad that, you know, God stepped in and touched your heart, but, you know, I don't want to hug you. You know, that's just no. For me, that's just me, listeners. You know, that was me. I didn't want to hug them, didn't want to become their friend. You know, great, wonderful. You finally turned into a good person, wonderful.
Right.
That's as far as it had gone, you know. I don't want to sit down, I don't want you to come to my house, and I certainly don't want to be your friend.
Right.
So, you know,
and that's,
but again.
Yeah, and that's perfectly understandable. You are in that place, and you have
yes.
all the right in the world to be in that place. And but I also wanted to say something. You, the difference between selfishness and wellness.
Right.
Yeah, I'm. Don't get me wrong. I don't want anybody to think that I'm out there telling them to just quit their jobs and do all this and do all that. But just kind of think about what you think, because you have, you know, families or kids or whatever you're trying to take care of. You just can't up and quit your job, and
right.
that's totally understandable. But it's. If you do, you know, just try to find that balance between what's selfish and finding, you know, wellness. And just kind of work that out. work out what's best for you. If you can't leave your job, you can please still, you know, just get some kind of help outside of your job so you don't go to your job and just, like, take all that stuff and get to the breaking point.
Right. Or you set up bedtime. You know, most people work Monday through Friday. Saturday and Sunday, set up bedtime to find your happiness, to find your happy place. If you have children, and you can just say, you know, for 1 hour a day or 2 hours, go watch television. This is my me time. This is the time for me to help heal me. This is the time that I want to do whatever I want to do.
Yeah.
You know, find that place to make you happy. And, you know, in the meantime, you can also work on, you know, if you're not in a position to quit your job or to leave, which so many of us are not, you can do research to find out what you can start in your spare time and get that to the point where maybe you can eventually leave that place that's making you so unhappy.
Yeah, but, absolutely. Even if you just, like, just, you know, to start with, if you can just, like, take a 15 or a 30-minute walk per day, which actually raises your, is it adrenaline? I can't think of the word. It's late. But, yeah, just kind of raise, you know, those levels within you, that happy feeling, just, you know, of 30 minutes of fresh air to yourself and just kind of, like, get rid of that stress constructively.
Yeah.
Just whatever you can do, just read, just go into the bathroom and take a hot bath by yourself. Nobody's bothering you. Whatever you can do just to start with, do it.
And if that means, you know, there's some nights, like usually if it's a show like tonight, for instance, when I'm done this show, I'm going to turn everything off and I'm just going to go out back and just listen to the crickets and the frogs and whatever's out there this evening, Lord only knows. And I'm just going to reflect because sometimes I have to unwind from the show. And then all during the week, I hear, you know, let me share this with you. You know, it was so funny this morning. I got up and I went to my email, and I had, I guess someone had written to me through our website. And she's out of Virginia, and she said, I'm in a wheelchair, and my husband is threatening to kill me. I need your help. And she gave me a partial phone number. I knew that she was in Virginia, and she left off the last two digits of her phone number.
Yeah.
But I had her full name, and I did some research, and I found only one person, same phone number, and all the way down to the five digits, and then I went ahead, the eight digits, and then I went ahead and plugged in the last two. I called 911 here, who then patched me through to Virginia's 911.
Right.
And whether it was, you know, I'm not to judge whether it was a hoax or whether it was real. I like to think the children aren't up at 4:24 in the morning playing around on a computer.
Right.
She said that he had stolen all of her money and she was in a wheelchair and she couldn't get away and she kept pleading for help. And I gave them all of the information that I had and they were sending the police out. I don't know what they found out, of course. But, again, I get this all day long, every day. I hear so much hurt and pain and people. I don't know who she is. I don't recall ever talking to anyone with that name.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how she found us, but she did, and she chose to send that message to me. And, you know, for me, sometimes this gets to be quite overwhelming. And I feel as though I'm taking on the weight of every caller, every email writer on myself, in addition to my own hurt. So, again, some mornings I wake up and I have the weight of the world, literally, it feels like. And we're talking, I talk to people all over the world. I don't just have listeners right here in the United States. I have listeners in other countries. They get up in the morning. Some people are 6 hours ahead of us, and they get up just so they can hear this show. And that's what keeps me going. That's what helps me to want to. And
it's so ironic how, and it's so true that psychologists and psychiatrists are the ones that need psychologists and psychiatrists the most, because they are the ones that are listening and getting all of that energy from other people, getting all of the stuff off of their chest. And then, you know, sometimes they don't have a way to dump it, so they have to see a psychologist or a psychiatrist. And it's interesting, I do something called like ritual cleansing. And it, I don't know, it might sound hokey to other people, but just when you take a bath or take a shower, all of that negative stuff, all of the negative things that you don't want, just wash it. Just say, go away, you know, go away hurt, go away anger, you know, go away, you know, problems, go away this. And just, you know, just wash it away. And sometimes I think, because I'm a big believer in energy and, you know, cyclical things and stuff like that. Yeah, just you know, just say, go away. Because words are very powerful. Words hurt, and they can heal, too. So that's something that I just do personally.
Right. That is so true. And, you know, I'm a lover of taking a nice, long, hot bath. But when I'm at that point where I feel as though I have everyone's problems with me, if I take a bath, it feels as though those problems just come out in the water and I'm being immersed in them even further. So whenever I'm at that point where I feel as though the weight of the world is on me, I take a shower, because that way it washes right off of me and down the drain.
Right, exactly.
Like that, you know. And you know, you do have to talk yourself. And there's something about that power of positive thinking and using those positive power words and things like that. There's something to it. And for me, I've always been that inquisitive type. And I said, you know, everything here is connected. Everything in this world is connected. We're part of nature and the energy. And, you know, I'm that type that will ask, why is the number 4 4? Why isn't the number 4 6 or 8? You know, why does 4 plus 4 equal 8? Who said that?
Yeah.
You know, these are the types of things. And, you know, your brain, your body is X amount of percentage water. And take away the water, there's not much to the human body.
Right.
And, you know, there's little things that we need to understand. Whenever I'm sick, I always go to the water. You know, I remember my great-grandmother, she'd always sing the song, "Take Me to the Water." Well, I don't know whether that's the name of it, but it's "Take Me to the Water." You know, and for me, water is a healing.
Yeah,
it's a healing element for me.
Yeah, that's funny, because I, with my son, you know, I had, you know, a lot of problems, you know, with his birth, and I remember the nurses even saying, you know, just, you know, sit in a tub sometimes, because they said water is just a very healing thing. They said, you know, if you're feeling stressed, you know, you're trying to heal from stitches and stuff, they said just, you know, soak in a tub, because water is very healing. So, yeah, I've definitely, yeah, I totally agree with you on that one.
Yeah, and these are things for our listeners that you can do that, you know, you don't have to spend any money other than whatever your regular water bill is. You know, just take a nice hot shower and let that negativity roll right off of you. Just let it go. And if you feel a need to cry in there when nobody can hear you but you in the water and, you know, whatever deity you believe in, then so be it. But
yeah.
Let it all out and let it just wash away. And
yeah.
It just, or sit outside. And, you know, it's odd. I had done a book called Silent Beauty, Color of Nature, where it's a book of my photography, because people never stop to look at the beauty that's right in front of them every single day.
Right,
and
yeah.
I pick up my camera and I take the most beautiful flowers and pictures and bugs and strange bugs that I never saw before in my life and hope I never do again, you know, but.
Yeah, I have a thing with moths myself. I'm like, yeah, moths freak me out, so I feel
oh,
you.
Oh, my goodness. You know, everybody has their little quirks and things, but yeah, some of these, and I'll take a picture, and I have a wonderful lens, and I'm like, oh, let me go to the end of the block and just zoom in on that, because I'm like, case it's a jumper, no, but these are things that you can do to really help take away that stress that's pushing you to a point where you feel as though taking your own life is your only option. And
right.
Believe you me, I can be here tonight and tell you all, yeah, it's crossed my mind quite a few times. Have I done it? Of course not. I'm still here. You know, and now I'm here doing this show and trying to have people on, such as Latricia, to try to convince you guys that it's not that serious where, you know, suicide is your only option. We're not, you're not there. You're not there, trust me. You're here for a reason. You know, and I don't think that you were put on this earth to take your own life. I'm not thinking that that's why you're here.
No, no. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh no. It's fine.
But I wanted to also talk about negative self-talk, things people say to themselves just in passing. You know, oh, I'm so stupid. Why did I do that? Or, oh, I'm too fat. Or, you know, that negative, those little negative things. I think it really affects you. They say your subconscious records each and everything that you ever done, said, saw, smell, touch. And sometimes I have to ask myself, does your subconscious really perceive what's, you know, what's real or what's, you know, can it tell the difference between, you know, just you saying something negative in passing, or is your subconscious actually taking it seriously and just kind of like doing something to your brain? So think about, you know, things that you say to yourself, you know, I can't do this, or I'm too fat, or I'm too slow, I'm not smart enough, nobody will let me do it. Yeah, just think about negative self-talk and just kind of think about changing the way you think about yourself. And I think that helps too.
Right. And then the art of perception. Perception is a very, very interesting thing. Perception can cause wars. Perception can cause divorces. Perception can just make people, after a while, once we begin to perceive things a certain way, our brains actually begin to manifest them and make them so, whether they are or not. And
right.
It was so odd that you had brought that up, because I was just having a conversation of that nature not too long ago with, you know, distorted perceptions. And, of course, that's something that's an uphill battle, because once someone perceives something to be so and they have convinced themselves that it is, there's not much that you can do to change that. They would have to work through that some kind of way on their own. But again, sit back, write down things, compare those notes, see if, you know, you remember it the same next week or next year or next month or whatever it is. And if it continuously changes to the point where, you know, that maybe, you know, my recollection or my perception of what went on really wasn't what it's supposed to be, sometimes you can find the answer to that just from sitting down and writing down your thoughts and figuring out that, wow, you know, my perception or my recollection has changed so much. Each time I write it, it's a little bit different. But it's, you know, it's to the point where one can say that it's remarkably different. Then you'll know that maybe it's time for you to change that up and let that go. And then you'll feel better when you figure out, okay, well, maybe it's time to let it go. And then sometimes I think we need to let go of some things. Some people hold on to the same thing. They tell you the same story over and over and over again. And it's like, when are you going to let that go? Just move on. You know, I mean, everybody knows the story. Generations of family members know the story. It's time to stop telling it and let it go and move on. Live your life. Because like you know, you said the negative talk and things, sometimes we become our own worst enemy. And we actually drive ourselves to the point of depression because we're convincing ourselves that everybody else around us has done something to us,
yeah.
is talking about us, it doesn't like us. We've actually gotten to the point where we're convincing ourselves that we're being victimized by people who have never even thought in that realm.
Right. Oh, yeah. I went through so much of that. You know, I'm thinking that paranoid feeling I used to go through, that I'm thinking everybody is around me talking about me. You know, everybody is conspiring against me. Everybody is keeping me down. And, you know, years later I find out, you know what, we didn't even give you a second thought when we were standing there having that conversation, but it was all in my head. It was all in my head. I mean, sometimes, yeah, people are against you, but, yeah, a lot of stuff was just all in my head. My rationale was just so screwed up, yeah.
Yeah, and I was having a conversation a few days ago, and I said, you know, I always have to tell some people, never overestimate the worth of your existence in my life, because you're sitting up here thinking, well, you said this and you did that. When? Well, I'm just saying. You're just saying what? Or I just heard, or I thought you said. Oh, you thought I said. So you responded to me based on what you thought I said. I said, now we're getting to the root of the problem here.
Right.
You thought I said. You know, again, perception and people's insecurities. So we have to know when to really, again, take that back step and think, you know, how much of this is real and how much of this have I manifested so that I can continue to make myself feel really down and terrible?
Right.
You know, and wow, you know, this has been an interesting conversation, because I know people are sitting home now talking to among themselves or talking to one another saying, you know, well, I think this and I think that, and really, I guarantee you that there are probably some people within earshot listening right now who are probably thinking, you know, oh, wow, she's talking about so-and-so if they know me personally or if they know you personally. And I'm like, people, seriously, there are too many people out here in the world who are going through the same identical thing or something that's very similar. This is not geared towards any one particular person. We are speaking in general about people who are going through exactly what you have gone through or you are currently going through. Again, you are not the only one, and you are not alone.
It spans all the way from the cheerleader and the prom queen all the way up to the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. No one is immune to this. No one.
No one. No one. So do not sit at home and think that anyone is geared towards. Sometimes, you know, when we have shows like this, I have to stress that disclaimer to people and say, you know what, this isn't personal. When I do this show, trust me, these are shows where I know that there are hundreds of thousands of people out there who are going through the same exact thing. It is not about any one particular person. So, again, personal perception, it's not about you. Okay? I'm letting you know that it's not about you. It's about a lot of people who are going through this. This is out to the multitude. And I just wanted to say that, because a lot of times, you know, one of the things about doing the show, a lot of people are afraid to be heard on radio and things because they don't want to upset family members and friends, and they don't want to say this because it'll make them mad and things like that. You know, this is a talk show about hurt, and I have yet to meet one person that has a specific hurt that I have not heard someone else, you know, has experienced. I just haven't met that person that has this unique hurt that's uniquely their own.
Right.
And, you know, it shows no boundaries. It has no color barriers. It has no ethnic background. It has no belief, no sex, no anything. It just,
right.
It's just there. And, you know, quickly, where can people pick up your book?
You can find it on buybooksontheweb.com, BBOTW.com. You can also, you know, look up my name on, I have a website. My name is Latricia Hendricks. It's L-E-T R-I-C-I-N. Oh, I'm sorry, LetRiciahendrix. I'm sorry, it's been a long day.
Like,
but yeah,
minute.
You can absolutely Google my name. Oh, I'm tripping. yeah, and it's great. You know, when you heal, you find so much humor within yourself. You're just like, oh, I'm just crazy. but you mean it in like a humorous way. And it just feels so good to just like be well from this. But I also wanted to say, you know, think about how mental health affects your relationships, your, you know, how you feel, you know, your relation, how you relate to your coworkers. But yeah, it just affects everything. But yeah, but you can find it on my website, or you can find it on, actually you can find it on Amazon.com. I'm sitting here, I'm giggling. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm having a moment.
Yeah, talk to Latrician. I'm like, wait a minute, that's not her name.
I'm like, who am I? But see, yeah, when you heal, you find humor, and you just laugh at yourself. It's just so great. It's so freeing.
Yeah, you have to. You know, it's like, okay. Mm-hmm.
Like,
and I used to always joke to people and say, you know, their days, and I used to joke and say, you know what, I really do miss my pretty purple pill. You know,
yeah, I'm just like, I'm having brain farts. I'm like, that was like the best thing, you know, through healing, just finding my humor. I'm like,
you know what, when you can laugh at any and almost everything, you know, it's the best thing in the world. It
yeah.
is the darndest thing. You know, I never forget the first time I had gone down south. My son and his family lived in Georgia, and he was deployed, and I was down there with my daughter-in-law, and we found the darndest things to laugh at in Georgia. Gotta love Georgia. But people, they're interesting, and we just laughed, and we laughed, and we laughed some more.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just so gosh darn funny.
But I mean,
and,
that's, yeah.
Yeah, and for those of you who have not heard, you know, next month, September the 11th, we're having our first annual Women's Summit, and Latricia will be one of our best speakers, and of course, hopefully, she'll have plenty of her books there as well.
I'm sorry, I'm still laughing.
Give me a call at 443-865-4211 at the office, and we'll be sure to give you the information on our first annual Women's Summit here in the great state of Maryland. If you'd like to come, of course, tickets are $15, and they do help. The proceeds will go towards the Wall Foundation Incorporated. Of course, that's my 501c3, and, of course, Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio falls under that umbrella. You can visit us at thewallfoundationinc.org. Again, our website is www.thewallfoundationinc.org, and Latricia's site is Latrici.
Oh, it's L-E-T.
L-E. See,
yeah.
Still at it. Okay. All right. Listeners, let's just backtrack a minute here. Okay. Here we go. LetRiciahendrix .com. Is it .com?
Yes. I'm going to listen to this later, and like, this is where it went all horribly wrong. Don't listen to the cards. But, yeah, it's, yeah.
You know what? No, our listeners know, okay, these two women are absolute nuts. It's like, but you know what, people, it's okay. We can laugh about this. We know what it's like to be in the darkest part of that tunnel. And then, you know, number two, it's late, people. It's like 12:18 or something. I'm tired. Patricia's tired.
It's like I almost made it without falling off my high heels. I almost made it down the runway. It's like that, but no, it didn't happen.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. But remember the model that was on TV that kept slipping and falling on the runway? Yeah. That would be us tonight. We get up and we start to wobble again, and we're back down.
But humor
but
is
again,
great medicine. Yeah, humor
it is
such great
oh,
medicine.
My goodness. And again, you know what, people, we've been talking all night about suicide and the worst part of it. And then we end the show with laughter. And hopefully some of you sitting at home listening, you're getting a chuckle out of this because this has been interesting. I can't spell. Latricia can't spell. You know?
Are you kidding me? I'm a writer. Of course I can't spell. That's why I tell people.
Oh, my goodness. I'm studying law. So, so, you know, yeah, there you go. In a nutshell, people, that's why we say, you know, just because we have titles and things doesn't mean that we're immune from a thing. Okay? Oh, my goodness, that is too funny. But, again, once again, listeners, on the real note, you are so not alone. And, again, Latricia's book is Behind Our Faces, Thoughts and Reasoning of Suicide. It is a very candid and personal look into her experience. It's written to the point where, again, you can just go through the book. It's not a lot of big, outlandish words in there that you'd have to run and go get the dictionary to figure out what she's trying to say.
Because
it's
I can't
straight
spell.
Talk. Yeah, because you can't spell. You can't spell her own name. So let's not forget that. And I'm not one to talk because I can't spell either. But it's okay. At least you know what? If you're depressed tonight, go out and get a dictionary and learn how to, some better words and how to spell them. And then you can come on the show and help us when we're doing our speaking engagements. You can write all of our little programs and things. I usually speak straight from the heart. I don't like scripts again. But that's why I don't do scripts, because I can't write and I can't spell. So that's why I do a talk show and don't do anything else anymore, because I like to talk better than I can write. Okay, so.
But yes, I just wanted to say it is absolutely possible to get better. You just keep searching and find your answer. Do not stop until you find it.
Yeah, and any time, of course, as many of you know, you can always write to me, and if you'd like to get in touch with Latricia, I will certainly put you in contact with her anytime you'd like to talk. One thing, you know, that I found, Latricia, is that so many people of my listeners, they enjoy the fact that when they write or they call, they actually talk to me. And they just think that that's the cutest thing in the world. They're like, you're not a secretary, you're you. And I'm like, yeah, I'm thinking so. They're like, oh, my gosh, I know that voice. I'm like, yeah, that would be me. So, you know, it's the little things. And
but
sometimes
you
have to find your own little thing to make you feel better. And sometimes you can find it in someone else. And, you know, I'll try to still be me. Because I'm the only person I know how to be.
And if somebody wants to talk to me, my email is absolutely on my website. You know, there's a contact page, and my email is also on my website. So, yeah, you can absolutely email me. Sure.
And I try to get people to do that, but for some reason they prefer to talk to me and then me send you a message. And I'm like, okay, are you serious? Well, could you tell her that I said so-and-so? Well, sorry. No, you can do it. And, you know, I'm helping them, I guess, to find their voice. But they're not ready to take that leap of faith on their own. So they still be like to stay close to little old Maria. We'll just stay next to Maria, and she can tell her. She'll get it. But if you come out next month, you can talk to Latricia yourself face-to-face.
Yep.
And pick up a copy of her book, and I'm sure she wouldn't mind leaving you a little message in there.
Absolutely.
And we're going to have a great time. And, of course, gentlemen, for those of you that are listening, you are welcome. Bring your loved ones, bring your daughters, bring your best friends. There's going to be something there for everyone, but it's a celebration of us and healing across the board. And this has been a really, really enlightening show, and I hope that our listeners enjoyed it as much as I did, because it's been a lot of fun.
It's been great,
And, you know, this is why I say, you know, I think my listeners appreciate, and they do like the fact that I'm just candid and open. I don't like scripting anything out. And I love doing, you know, dedicating a whole show to one person. That way we can connect better with the listener. And, you know, hopefully they will visit your website.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you that want to, seriously, you can visit it. You can bypass me and talk directly to Latricia and tell her your stories. I'm sure that she'd be willing to share even more. But again, the name of her book is Behind Our Faces, Thoughts and Reasoning of Suicide, Reasonings of Suicide by Latricia Hendricks. And that's H-E-N-D-R-I-X. Just to make sure
like
that you
Jimmy,
know that.
Yeah, Jimi Hendrix, yeah.
Yes, that's it, like Jimi Hendrix, okay? Want to make sure you guys spell that last name right. And, of course, it's been wonderful, wonderful having you as my guest tonight. I'm looking so forward to seeing you.
Oh, yeah, this has been great, yeah.
And, again, thank you for joining me here tonight. Our time is almost up. We have about 4 minutes. Anything you'd like to leave with the listeners before we go?
Let's see. Don't give up. You're not the only one. if you feel like you have no one and nobody loves you, the most important thing is to find love for yourself. And, you know, it is possible to heal from it. It is possible. There is another side, even though you might not feel like there is. Trust me, there is another side.
That's so true. And again, our time is almost up. Latricia, it has been wonderful having you here. Thank you so much for joining me this evening on Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. I will be in touch with you soon. And,
okay.
We have to do this again really soon. I will be calling you, you know, in the next few weeks anyway, but thank you again. And again, we've been here with Ms. Latricia Hendricks. The name of her book is Behind Our Faces, Thoughts and Reasonings of Suicide. Latricia, you have a great evening. Thank you so much for staying up late with me tonight, and you have a great Sunday.
You too, and thank you so much.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for joining us here on Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. As always, we'd like to remind you that the views, statements, and or comments of show guests, callers, or hosts do not necessarily reflect the views or beliefs of the Wall Foundation Incorporated or Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. These comments are those of our guests, callers, and hosts alone. Therefore, the Wall Foundation Incorporated and or Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio is not party to nor liable for resolution of issues between show guests, callers, hosts, and or listeners. I want to thank you again for joining us here at Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. I'm your host, Maria Wall, and I look forward to seeing you back here next week when we'll bring you more real people, real stories, real hurt, and real healing. Until then, be well.
Thank you for joining me this evening on Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. Again, I'll see you back here next week when I'll bring you another dynamic guest with another real story, real healing, and real hurt. You can also give me a call, 443-865-4311, if you'd like information on our Women's Summit coming up September the 11th of next month. And until next week, I want you all to have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday, a great work week. I will see you back here same time, 11 p.m. Eastern time next week, when once again I will bring you, as I said, another dynamic guest with another set of real people, real stories, real healing, some real hurt. Until next week, you be well.